Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, tomorrow on ESPN and the app, we have the NIT Championship game, 7 Eastern from Madison Square Garden, Xavier and Texas A&M, then the 33rd annual College Slam Dunk and three-point championships from New Orleans, all that and a whole lot more as we head into the Final Four this weekend. Jam-packed we are. Welcome back to another hour of Get Up. We are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. That's the immortal Brian Windhorst. We got a terrific crew for you together on this Wednesday. Let's roll it for hour number two. It is time to get up and get out for the Lakers. Their collapse is complete. We'll show you why last night was the last straw in La La Land. Meanwhile, Aaron needs to hang a help wanted sign. We've got the only solution to put the title back in Title Town. We will tell you exactly what it is. And then stunning statements out of the owners' meetings. Wait till you hear what one big boss said about a star who's no longer on his team. That and more as we get up with you in this hour. Starting right now by running the floor around the NBA action last night. We showed you full highlights of this sensational game in Philly last night. Bucks and Sixers. Giannis out-dueling Embiid in a game that came down to the final shot. Giannis blocking Embiid right there to clinch it. Giannis finished with 40 and the Bucks won it on the road. 118-116. In Brooklyn, Nets needed a rally to get by the Pistons last night. Kevin Durant had a huge game, scoring 41. Kyrie Irving had 24. The Nets won it by 7. Out in Los Angeles, Paul George made his return, playing for the first time since December, scored 34. Clippers beat the Jazz, overcoming a 25-point deficit to knock off Utah. And then, speaking of Los Angeles, there were the Lakers, who were playing without LeBron James last night against the Mavericks. LA gave up 82 points in the first half and eventually lost by 18. It wasn't nearly that close, as LeBron and AD were both watching the action, and what they saw was their team fall out of the playoffs and the play-in completely. For the first time since October 23rd, the Lakers are not top 10 in their own conference. And our analytics give them just a 25% chance of even making the play-in tournament. And as I bring Wendy back here, and Monica McNutt's gotten up with us early this morning, I see the look on your face, Monica. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're the one who said it earlier. Is there even any point in the Lakers making it into the play-in at this stage?
Please, Greeny, those were my words, and that is my concern. I think you win maybe 2 games, and you get the Phoenix Suns. Congratulations. I just think at this point, it's better to let it rest, let it lie. And honestly, they may not have a choice in the matter because the teams ahead of them are fighting for something in terms of Pop potentially retiring or the Pelicans who just want to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, the teams ahead of them are just better than they are. That's why the Lakers are where they are, Wendy. And I feel the need to continue to remind people, I know they've had injuries, but everyone has injuries, that this was a team that Vegas considered the favorites in the Western Conference before the season began. How in the world are we here at the end of March?
What a boulevard of broken dreams. You remember that photograph that they post for a media day with those 5 future Hall of Famers?
Yeah.
And they're talking about winning the 18th title and finally fulfilling Jerry Buss's dream of passing the Celtics,
mm-hmm,
to, oh, well, when AD gets healthy, you know, we'll get the 5 or 6 seed and we'll just put it to, oh, we'll win the play-in. Now Monica is making a reasoned, rational argument that it's better off if they just miss the play-in tournament. I mean, this has been, I mean, it's happened every day. We watch it every day, so it's not shocking. But if I had laid this out for you in October, you'd have kicked me out of the studio.
For sure.
And questioned why I was still in this job. I mean, it is absolutely incredible when you take a step back. And I got to say, if you look forward here, I don't love their chances because the LeBron is probably not going to play tomorrow in Utah. He and AD, uh-huh, may come back this weekend. Tonight the Spurs have to play the Grizzlies. That's a tough one, but Ja's still not playing.
Right.
Then the Spurs' next 2 games after that are against the Trailblazers at home, who are tanking unceremoniously. By this weekend, if LeBron can come off that ankle and AD comes back, They may be functionally down two or three games in this with the hardest schedule left.
With a week left at that point is what it would be. And there you see what the Lakers have left. It's a mess. And so, you know, with a disaster of this magnitude, Monica, there's more than enough blame to go around. And it's been very convenient. The world has fixated to a large degree on Russell Westbrook. He has really worn so much of this. But in your view, Monica, where does the blame lie for what has been the most disappointing season in the NBA by far?
Well, I think I'm putting heavy as the head that wears the crown. I'm looking at LeBron. It's like 65% in my mind, if all is true that he had a hand in constructing this roster. Basketball people with sense, Wendy, back me up on this. When this roster came together, we said, oh, this would be cool if it was still, I'll give you 2014, 2013. And so from the jump, this team had some serious question marks. And while the numbers that LeBron has put up are fantastic, honestly, empty calories comes to mind a little bit because it hasn't translated in terms of this team finding any success.
You know, and Wendy, to amplify that point a little bit, one of the reasons that many of us said, well, it'll work, even though the roster construction, we saw the questions in the beginning, was LeBron will figure it out. We had that kind of faith in him. It was his decision to put it together and that he would figure it out. And so maybe that's further illustration of the point she's making.
It wasn't just you believe that. He believed it. And by the way, he did take ownership on Media Day when he came out and he goes, I was honored that they wanted me to help build this roster. Mm. He wasn't running from that. So three things have happened. One, Anthony Davis has been hurt for a bunch of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, they weren't going to get a top two seed with Anthony Davis hurt. Two, Russell Westbrook's been a disaster fit. That could have kind of been seen. But three, it was what they lost when they traded Russell Westbrook. It wasn't just the bad fit. Mm-hmm. It was the combination of that. They had the number one defense in the league last year. That is championship level. They gave up 82 points and a half last night. The most points they've given up a half like since they moved to L.A.
Yeah. All right. We will leave that there for the moment. Lots more hoops. Jay Will's going to make his way over. Monica, stay close. We will get to that in a few minutes. In the meantime, I have to get to the NFL because at the owners' meetings yesterday, a significant change was made. Football, as we know it, is different than it was yesterday at this time. The owners approved a modified proposal for overtime that now does guarantee each team a possession, regardless of whether the first team scores a touchdown. Important to note, this only applies in postseason games. So football, as it has been played before in the regular season, is unaffected. But in the playoffs, now if the first team scores a touchdown, the second team still gets the ball. And you see the numbers on your screen. In the regular season, it has not been as much of a problem. In the postseason, it has been a big factor. More than half the games have ended on the first drive, and we saw Josh Allen never get the ball this year, and that probably more than anything else is what influenced this decision yesterday. So Marcus Beers, thumbs up or thumbs down on the new overtime?
Thumbs down. I hate it, G. It's emotion. Like, this is about the emotion of people that didn't like not seeing Patrick Mahomes get the ball against Tom Brady, and then last year, most recently, Josh Allen have an opportunity. I was as enthused about the game as anybody else. But you know what I wasn't mad at? I was not mad at the fact that the Buffalo Bills couldn't get a stop against Kansas City. Because they could have. You know why? Because it was 11 of them on the football field, along with 11 offensive players for the Kansas City Chiefs. But might I add, there was also 13 seconds at the end of the game where the Kansas City Chiefs moved the ball down the field and was able to go down and score. I'm a defensive player. The onus should be on us to get a stop. We talk about that every damn day leading up to any football game, no matter if it's the playoffs or no matter if it's the regular season. There is not a point to me when you get to sudden death in overtime where you don't put the pressure on the offense and the defense. Somebody's going to win that possession. Somebody's going to win that series and give themselves an opportunity. The coin flip just tells you, hey, man, this is why these guys get the ball. You know when we used to play 21 when we was young? You shoot for the ball. Whoever get the ball first, that's how you got it. So miss me with a coin shouldn't determine the game. That damn coin didn't have nothing to do with the Buffalo Bills defense not being able to stop Kansas City offense from scoring a touchdown and winning the game and moving on to the next round. I hate it. It's about fair. And you know what's fair? I got 11, you got 11. One of us need to do our job better.
I'm with that. And Ninko, I mean, I can think of two games in recent memory, championship games, one of them this year, Cincinnati with an interception on defense and used it to score a game-winning touchdown in the AFC championship game a few years ago. The Rams did it. They intercepted Drew Brees in the NFC championship game in overtime, went down and won the game. So you're a defensive player. Do you like or not like the change in the rule?
I like the change in the rule. I think that, yeah, if you're the first team out there, the first defense out there, and you let your team score, well, then the other team, let's see if their defense can stop somebody. Because, you know, if your team marches down the field and they score, you're looking at each other like, yeah, as a defender, we won. Great, it's over. But now with the new rules, okay, my team scores. All right, now it's on me. Now we need to get a stop. And, yes, the rules are going to be a little bit different for that other team because they're going to have four downs. It's going to be, you know, four down territory the whole way down the field. But at the same time, you know, you can still look into it and be like, yo, it's on us now, the defense. So, you know, I think that at the end of the day, it's about making money. It's about money. They saw that in this last game with the Bills in Kansas City, like if they would have just kept going, Buffalo wanted to be in the Super Bowl too now. Buffalo wants to get to that game as well. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, they're trying to keep everything interesting. They're trying to do that in the playoffs, which I like. The regular season, they kept the same. So I'm cool with it. I think it's a good rule change for the playoffs. The regular season is still the same.
What do you think, Mike?
I think we got cranky Swagoo. What happened to the Swagoo with the good vibes only? I mean, he's mad at Bisciotti. He's mad at the overtime rule. He's mad at McCarthy. What happened to the lovable Swagoo?
It's just that type of morning, Mike T. It's that type of morning.
Well, I kind of agree with you on this because I think there's some intrinsically unfair, which is this. If you go first, you're playing three down conventional football in terms of if it's fourth down and you're in the backed up, you're going to punt the ball. If that team scores a touchdown, guys, the team that gets the ball second, and let's say, again, it's fourth and eight at their own 25, they're going for it. And that, to me, is intrinsically unfair because now they have an extra down to move the ball that the first team didn't have. So while the league's trying to equal the playing field here, I think there's still something in a consequential overtime game in the playoffs that's still unfair.
Super quick on that thought. Does this mean that if you win the coin toss in overtime now in a playoff game, you decide to kick it away first, that you want the ball second? You actually, like you do in the college overtime, which is contrived nonsense,
absolutely,
and I'm glad they didn't go to that. But if you might be better off actually giving the other team the ball first in overtime. It's something that we should be keeping an eye on when we get to the playoffs. Let me leave that there for the moment. I asked you a question, and I'm not going to let you answer it. That's just the way these things go sometimes. As we continue in a moment, Carson Wentz may be gone from Indy, but he certainly isn't for forgotten. Wait till you hear the comments from his former employer. These were surprising. Plus, Tyreek Hill may be impossible to replace in Kansas City. You'll hear why Andy Reid might need extra special help in finding the replacement. I'll ask the questions and we'll get the answers. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and it has been a very long time since we have done Swag Who Says, because what you need to know about my friend Marcus Spears is that he's the most insightful person I've ever met. So this is where you will hear people say things, and then Swag Who is going to tell you what they actually mean. Here we go. We're going to start with Andy Reid, who was asked at the owners' meetings about trading away Tyreek Hill. Here's what he said.
We did try to sign Tyreek at a certain cost. Once it gets past that, now you can see what we're doing here with the players we brought in, and we feel they're very good football players. If you're paying all your money to a quarterback and you can't surround them with players, that could be a problem.
All right, so that's what Andy said. What does Swag Who say?
Gee, Andy is saying, Lord, please let these other wide receivers be good. the middle of that field was so wide open for Travis Kelce because Tyreek Hill could take the top off. and people were terrified of him getting the ball in his hands. Please let Valdez, Scanlon, and Juju help in that regard so we can still have a explosive offense, and Patrick can sometimes go YOLO and just throw that thing in the well and one of these dudes make a play. Please, please, Lord.
I love it. All right, the next one is Sean McVay, coach of the Rams. He was asked about Tom Brady's decision to retire and then unretire this offseason. Here's what he said.
This thing is, man. Can we get this guy the hell out of this league?
That's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
I like that McVay curse. You know that. I like that so much. But I was thinking the same thing. The Rams, like, man, we done just re-signed Matthew Stafford. We got Aaron Donald to say we're going to run it back. And the damn Grim Reaper show back up. And he showed back up, and I know a lot of people going to want to go there that would have wanted to come to L.A. That was very appealing to try to come get them a championship. I'm sick of him too, McVay. But I love the fact that he back because I love watching Tom Brady play football. But everybody feel like you feel. The Reaper is back, and Sean McVay cursed to let everybody know.
All right, that one is well played. All right, the last one is the one I really want to get some insight into because I found this surprising. This is from the Colts owner, Jim Irsay. He was asked about the team's decision to move on from Carson Wentz, and he went in. Listen to this. He said, I think the worst thing you can do is have a mistake and try to keep living with it going forward. For us, it was something we had to move away from as a franchise. It was very obvious. I'm extremely grateful to the football gods, so to speak, regarding where we were compared to where we are. Those are some strong comments from an owner. That's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, this is like a man and a woman going into the relationship. We dated. We went through the process. It was all love, and we got married. And the one thing I forgot was to ask them if they had good credit. The credit was bad, okay? And when that comes to the point, you can't purchase a damn thing. And you looking over there and you saying, we can't purchase nothing and we can't win nothing. And that's what Israel is saying about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz had bad credit. Yeah, it looked good from the outside. It's a pretty nice card that don't bend, G, like you got. That's all black and it says American Express. But the bottom line is the person that have it, the deadline on that thing is about $150 million and can't nobody pay it. You better check the credit of your significant other before y'all get married, y'all. That's what the Indianapolis Colts went through last year. Bad
I think that
credit.
Is right. Let me get the guys in here. You know, Mike Tannenbaum, let me start with you because, look, we've had other teams try it with a quarterback or a player at any position. It doesn't work out. You very rarely hear this level of vitriol after the fact. And
vitriol,
we saw something
God.
Somewhat similar in Philadelphia. Mike, what is it? I hate to even ask this question, but what is it about Carson Wentz that engenders this level of strong feeling from someone who owns the team?
Yeah, look, he's a little bit of an enigma because we all see the ability. It's just not consistent. And maybe his leadership isn't what it is for other players. But I got to say this, Greeny, Mr. Irsay's comments are wrong. They're egregious and they're extremely disappointing because when you're the head coach, the GM and an owner, when a player leaves, all you do publicly is you thank him and you move on. And here's why. Your audience is your current locker room, and every player in the Colts today is reading that comment, and all they're thinking about is, well, what is he going to say about me when I leave? So as an owner, you have a responsibility to thank people for their services, and you move on. You got Matt Ryan. You won. That's great, but you don't do that to a guy that's leaving. You just say thank you, and that's it. And I was really disappointed that he would do that publicly.
That is a fascinating take, and I'm really glad you brought it up. And it does go back to the previous thought, which is that we generally don't see this kind of thing. So, Nico, the only thing that makes me wonder is Irsay saying things that he knows will play fine in his locker room and around the league? Do you follow what I'm saying? That he knows everyone feels the way he just spoke, and I think that goes back to the original point. What do you think of that, Nico?
Do we first know the status of Irsay? Like, did he have a little rosacea? You know, was he a little flushed? Listen, when you say that stuff, I mean, it's kind of a bad look on yourself. You know, the kid gave you everything he got. He just wasn't able to do exactly what you expected him to do and take your team where you wanted him to take them. So just kind of like what Mike was saying, just be gracious, say, you know, thank you for your time here. You tried your best. It didn't work out. Now we're in a better place. So you know, for him to kind of throw people under the bus like that, I think it's, you know, it's not good business, especially when you have a team full of guys that you're like, okay, well, you know, wow. He might say that same stuff about me. I don't know. So I think it's okay. Definitely a bad look.
I want to get back to Marcus on it quickly before I have to break on that thought. What do you, having heard what those guys have said, do you feel the same way?
You know, I understand exactly what they're saying, but you know, when I first heard this, G and Mike T and Ninko, you know what it made me think? I don't think Irsay was in on this from the beginning. I think he just trusted Frank Reich and Chris Ballard. I don't know if Irsay was into getting Carson Wentz to come over. I don't think he makes this statement. I think this might have been a situation where the head coach and the general manager said, "Hey, man, we can do it with this guy. Look at the history that I have with him." And I think about what Frank Reich said as well. Like, you think about all of the non-endorsements of Carson Wentz. And what did we talk about before he went to Indianapolis? The relationship between him and Frank Reich is going to fix everything. Frank Reich was trying to get him out of there too, yeah. Believe it or not. So I don't know. I agree. I don't think you go public and say something like that. But I'm not sure Irsay was with it from day one based on reading these comments.
I think that's a really good perspective on it. We'll see what he's able to do. He's got another opportunity in Washington. Wentz, I mean, we'll see. As we take a break here, the good news for the Sixers last night, their two superstars played well. The bad news, however, was much more significant. We will dive into that in just a moment. And Sneaky Hembo is diving into this for Windy. Here we go. Which team has the worst record in the NBA since the All-Star break? My prediction is he gets this right.
Oh, man.
We'll find out next. Don't get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, here we go. I have put additional pressure on Brian Windhorst by predicting you're going to get this right. Which team in the NBA has the worst record since the All-Star break?
My best educated guess is Team Tendonitis. Don't say they're tanking. Portland Trailblazers.
That is correct. Oh, he got it right. Yes! Jay Willis here to see it right.
That is what I'm talking about, baby.
What about the Blue Duke Blue Devils?
Oh, the Blue Devils. See? Another Carolina shirt 2 days in a row.
He wanted you to say the Lakers because the Lakers are the topic of so much of the conversation. Yeah. But it is actually Portland that has the worst record. And as you can see, the great Jay Williams has made his way here from ESPN Radio. Let's do a feature we're going to call Shoot the Jay with Jay Williams and run through a couple of the biggest NBA stories. Start with Giannis out-dueling Embiid in a thriller last night. Jay Will, what is there to say about the freak last night?
I just love the way Giannis attacks a game. And I know we'll talk about the MVP race. And I think Giannis having that block last night really helped them. But I will say the opportunities for Giannis to be featured over the next 5 games going against the Nets and Kevin Durant, going against the Celtics, going against the Cavs, he will have a lot of games on big-time platforms that could elevate him ultimately in the MVP conversation.
I love it. Next one. Paul George came back last night, played for the first time since December, scored 34 points in his return. Clippers beat Utah coming from 25 down. What do we say?
First off, I say respect to Ty Lue. He should have been the Lakers coach. The fact that he has the Clippers in this position in the playoffs without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard has been incredible. Glad Paul George can come back. Huge performance last night, being down 25. But Wendy, it always goes to the question, where is Kawhi Leonard, and will we ever see him play again?
This year, I'll ask Wendy that question as we continue in a moment, but let me get back to the Lakers, who you mentioned. We've talked about it a lot this morning. No LeBron, no AD. They got blown out last night. Gave up 82 points in the first half to Dallas, and they're out of the play-in.
Greeny, I've been saying this for the past month on your show that the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs and aren't going to make the play-in game. You look at the way they perform, and Russell Westbrook
God bless his soul. I mean, he's trying. But just defensively, they're not good at all. And the way you see them play, there's no fight. There's nobody drawing a line in the sand for this team.
Yeah, again, they gave up 82 points in the first half. There were the Clippers that you mentioned. They are firmly in the play-in. And the Lakers, as we speak, are firmly out. And I say firmly because they lose the tiebreaker to the Spurs. And they have the hardest record in the NBA the rest of the way. So with Jay Will here and Brian Windhorst here and Monica McNutt with us this morning as well, we've talked a lot, as I mentioned, Jay, about the Lakers. And the idea, Monica brought it up, that maybe the best thing for them at this point is not even to make the play-in, where the best case scenario is they just get trounced by Phoenix in round one. What do you think?
I'm part of the camp that says shut LeBron James down. He has a sore left knee. He has a sore left ankle. He's already going to miss Thursday's game. You're trying to bring AD back, and you're trying to fight to make the play-in tournament. And I understand that we're going to say, well, it's not how LeBron James is built, and you should play every game. You're the one that made this mess, so you fix it. Like, I know how people will say that, but my thing is, you have to make the right business decision for him at 37 years old. The right business decision is for his health to be intact so he can play in year 20 of his NBA career.
Monica, I think I heard an mm-hmm from you. Do you? Sounds like you agree.
You sure did, Greeny. Mm-hmm, Jay, tell these people. I said LeBron should shut it down when AD went down. That was February 16th, and I get it. That's not how he's made up, but come up with a more cloistered or creative way to get it done. But either way, save the mileage.
And then let me go back then, Wendy, to something that we brought up on my radio show yesterday. And that is, if indeed we all agree that whether they shut LeBron down or not for the remainder of this season, they will not accomplish anything this year. Is the path to LeBron eventually getting back to title contention in LA, does that path include trading Anthony Davis?
I don't think so. I think if you have a star player, you dream of getting another star player. This guy's, when healthy, won a title. This is a pairing that won a title. I agree with you. I think their ability to rebuild this roster is going to be very difficult. I don't know how they're going to do it, in all honesty. I don't even think that the best GA, I don't think Red Auerbach could come in and take this over and totally fix it. But I don't think, I mean, bring me the trade. I've thought about it. I know people have talked about Chicago. AD is from Chicago.
Right.
Chicago to do things.
Bring some of the young guys there.
I don't see the trade.
Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard. I'm throwing names at you.
I don't see the trade that you can guarantee the Lakers are going to be better. I think the answer is health. AD has to do some things to try to improve his health chance.
No, the answer is not health. The question is health for Anthony Davis. He's never been healthy, right? There was no. The only time he won a championship was when he had a three-month break before they went and played in a bubble with no travel and everything else. I'm not knocking the guy, but he's always
No, you're
hurt.
Knocking the guy. That's okay. It's okay. You're only talking about the facts that are there. And here's my question I have for it, though. Like, do we need to start asking ourselves if LeBron James has a buyout? Will they give him a buyout? And I know Wendy, you and I talk about it. We say he loves L.A. He loves what it is for his family. But if you don't see a path to try to win a championship, I just can't envision LeBron James being like, oh, this is where it is. Let's let me have a sit back and have a glass of wine and a cigar.
Last week, I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, but does he really mean that? Is he really having the time of his life?
You know, not today he's not, but he loves playing in L.A.
Wendy, in L.A., do you see what Russell Westbrook is going through?
Legacy.
Do you know it's a matter of time before they'll start doing that to LeBron James in Los Angeles? Like, will we start to forget the greatness that comes along with LeBron if he's losing games at this
That's
kind of
That's why
clip?
It'll be fascinating, the chase for Kareem next year. He's chasing a Laker.
Right.
And he's kind of, you know, this has been a disappointment. The Laker fans are disappointed. The excitement level for that will be a good barometer for how they feel
the
about
it. The stats?
LeBron.
Let me get a quick take from Monica on the AD piece of it all. Would you trade AD this offseason if you were the Lakers?
I'm with Wendy in that it's difficult, but yes, if you buy that, look, here's the deal. AD's terrific. He's not healthy. The best ability is availability, and that's a period for me. So yes, if I could do the deal, I'm doing it.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one here. The best game of the night, or the most important game of the night, was in the Eastern Conference. And we showed you the highlights earlier. The Bucks beat the Sixers by 2 in Philadelphia. The key was Milwaukee. Giannis got 14 points late in the third and early in the fourth when Embiid was on the bench. And after the game, I want you to hear what Joel said about Giannis's run and Doc Rivers' decisions.
And I was on the bench the whole time when I was on the floor. You know, I really made sure that I was always there to help. And, you know, I thought You know, we didn't follow up that strategy. We didn't build a wall. And he had a lot of free lane to just attack and get whatever he wanted. And that changed the game. Maybe next time, just match up the minutes.
Wow. And take a look. We matched up the minutes. When Embiid was on the court for 28 minutes, he had 21 points, did Giannis. When Embiid was off the court, he had 19 points in 9 minutes. So that's what Embiid is talking about. And Jay, Will, you freaked out, as he was saying.
Because on all these shows, when this trade went down, everybody kept trying to tell me, oh, there's going to be so much pressure on James Harden. He forced his way out of two situations. I'm like, okay. The most pressure is on Doc Rivers, because there were a lot of questionable strategy moves I saw with Doc Rivers and the Atlanta Hawks when they played in that series. Mm-hmm. And the first person that comes to mind when your best player is questioning the strategy, here it goes. And James Harden had his best game last night of his 76-year career thus far. And we're questioning strategies? Like, I don't see that getting better for the 76ers.
Harden had 32. You brought this up earlier, Monica, and we you mentioned the sound, but you brought up that decision, and really it went a long way towards deciding the game. What do you think, Monica?
Well, I mean, two eye-popping moments for me last night. Giannis, 4 dribbles coast-to-coast, and this run, because it was so blatant. Joel used the word free range. Giannis literally, first of all, he already does whatever he wants to do. But during the course of that run, literally was unstoppable. And I'm looking like, so there's no adjustments for the Sixers? And to Jay's point, I got to shout out Himbo for this stat. Doc Rivers has lost 11 playoff series in which he has had a lead. And so we talk about the playoffs for the Sixers squad. You got two big questions. Your head coach and your starting star point guard in James Harden. So I'm nervous if I'm a Sixers fan.
Yeah, and so, Wendy, let me just bring it back again, sort of bigger picture here. There's two huge referendum games they've played at home since they made this trade. And again, Harden scored 32 points last night. He played very well. But they had Brooklyn in the building a few weeks ago and got blown out. And then last night they have Milwaukee in the building, and they play relatively well but lose. How do you feel about that right now if you're a Philly fan?
Yeah, and the trend of recent losses is bad because they keep blowing leads. They had a lead in Phoenix the other night. They had a lead at home to Toronto. They had a lead at home to Denver. They're blowing these double-digit leads. And look, it happens in the regular season, but when you see it happen a bunch of times in a row and you know Doc's, you know, history, it gets worrisome.
How concerned are you if you're a Philly fan?
Well, I get worried about offensively. It feels like, look, I think Philly is at their best when the ball moves. They're moving the defense from side to side to get continuity offensively, because it feels like everybody's a part of it. But there does come a time where the ball gets to James Harden's hands and it gets stuck. It's almost similar to what happened with Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving when he was with the Boston Celtics.
Right.
Then Kemba kind of came in, the ball moved a little bit more. I think that's going to be a big thing for them.
But isn't that who James Harden is? I mean, are you describing him, right?
Yes.
Like, if you put a picture of the ball being stuck in the dictionary, be a picture of James Harden.
That's why it's going to be a problem, Greeny.
So when we list right now, in the tightest conference we've ever seen, we list the teams you could see coming out of the East. How high up do you put Philly?
I put Philly top 4.
Oh, 4 is not that high.
No, I said top 4. Like, I still say the Bucks are the best team. I think I think Boston would have been there if they didn't lose Robert Williams. I think that hurts them. I think they're still there. I think the Nets are going to be in that conversation.
Me too.
And, like, you know, I think the Sixers are kind of right there after that.
Monica, quickly, where's Philly in the pecking order right now of the best teams in the Eastern Conference?
I'm with Jay. I think if Philly finishes with whatever seed is going to match up with the Brooklyn Nets, they could get bounced by the Nets in the first round. And so they better hope that the seeding works out in their favor.
And that would be the disaster to end all this. All right, Jay, get back on the radio. They're yelling at me. Thank you. Meanwhile, we have two great games coming your way tonight on ESPN. We've got that game between the Heat and the Celtics, critical in the Eastern Conference, and that's followed by the Suns and the Warriors, two of the best teams in the West. Our coverage will start with NBA Countdown. That's tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, how do you replace the irreplaceable? Are Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams' departures too much for the Chiefs and the Packers to overcome? We will answer that question next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists?
Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and the draft is less than a month away, and our general manager, Mike Tannenbaum, has put together his own GM mock draft, and I'm fascinated, Mike, beginning with what you have Carolina doing at number 6.
We're going to take Kenny Pickett, quarterback, University of Pittsburgh, and here's why, Greeny. He's 24 years old. He has 49 career starts, and if I'm Matt Rhule, I have a better chance to win football games this year with Kenny Pickett than I do Sam Darnold. I have to win, and while Pickett doesn't have the upside of a top 10 quarterback, he's more like Kirk Cousins. We could go win a lot of games with Christian McCaffrey and Kenny Pickett as our quarterback.
Next up.
Yep. Malik Willis. I got Malik Willis going to the Steelers. And to me, this is a perfect situation, Greeny, because he could sit for a year behind Mitch Trubisky. He's 6'1". He has impeccable character. He's built like a running back. He's going to break a lot of tackles. But he did play at Liberty, Greeny, so I want him to sit for a year. We know about Chad Pennington sitting at the Jets. The rest is history. Let him sit like Mahomes. And I think this guy has a high ceiling, but it's going to take a while. So I think sitting for a year is ideal for him. Jahan Dotson, I have him going to the Green Bay Packers, and we know what happened there. They lost Devontae Adams, they lost Valdes-Scantling, and to me, he could come in. He reminds me a lot of Marvin Harrison. He's undersized, but boy, can he run. He has soft hands, and he could take the top off of coverage. So if I'm a Packer fan, well, he's not Devontae Adams. He's a guy that could score points early on, and he's polished, and he played great against Ohio State, as we see here. Then the last one to me is one of the more intriguing players. Yeah, Jameson Williams, Alabama. I was at the SEC championship game. He was the best player on the field. And if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and I can get Jameson Williams, I'm going to say it. If he's healthy, he can be Tyreek Hill. He had 184 yards against that great Georgia defense on 7 catches. And he is explosive. His play speed is as good as anybody's in this draft. The only question is coming off of the ACL injury.
Okay, I love it. So there's a little bit of it. You can see on ESPN.com Mike Tannenbaum's entire first-round mock draft. I've got Mel Kiper back with us here. And before I start diving into some of the particulars, let's let Mel do what everyone else always does to him, right? Mel will put these mocks up there, and we all pick them apart. So go ahead, Mel. What jumped out to you there? What, if anything, do you take issue with?
Not really. Mike did a great job. I mean, it's his opinion. It's based on picking as a GM for each one of those selections. I think Malik Willis, the Steelers will have to trade up to get. Mike's got him at 20. I had him at 20 because we both think that Mike Tomlin's going to find a way to get Malik Willis. Will he be patient enough, and will it be effective waiting like Mac Jones fell to 15 to Bill Belichick, which we thought was an ideal match, Mike? I don't think Malik Willis drops to 20. I didn't know who to project him to, but I got to believe Seattle, Atlanta, somebody in that top 10 may be willing to move down. And Pittsburgh, I think, is going to have to move up to get Malik Willis. I don't think standing pat at 20 is going to get him.
All right, so those are the quarterbacks, and we will see. They tend to get overdrafted. Now, Marcus, I want to come all the way back to something that you brought up at the very beginning of our show, and we never really were able to get back to it. You've got Mike T here projecting the Chiefs to take Jameson Williams, who's an explosive receiver at 29, but he's got the torn ACL and will not be ready when the season begins. I got a sense from you that in the wake of the Tyreek Hill trade, that you have a level of concern about what that Kansas City offense is going to be able to continue to do going forward. Pick up on that thought, Marcus, because I never got to hear it.
Yeah, G, I just think the element of Tyreek Hill, and everybody talks about the speed, and I understand why, but we got to also remember Tyreek Hill with the ball in his hands and how devastating that is from an offensive standpoint, too. I haven't seen MBS run any jet sweep motions. I haven't seen him catch screens and strike fear in people's heart. The way he dictates the way defenses have to play you on the back end. We talked all season long about a too high shell. You think that was because of Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill? That was Tyreek Hill. When you got to bump coverage over because this guy will destroy your number one cornerback based on speed and his in and out quickness and his ability to change direction, that changes the scope of what you do defensively. Just, I cannot, nothing about me is going to say Patrick Mahomes won't have a successful season. But we saw the Chiefs struggle this year trying to figure out who they were offensively. Now you take away that dude who really bails you out of a lot of things. Go back to the Super Bowl. That was Tyreek Hill bailing Patrick Mahomes out. When Patrick Mahomes scrambles and does all of his running around, that's the guy he's looking for. So I just want to see how this offense operates. It's not end of the world. Patrick Mahomes is still going to be a phenomenal top-tier quarterback in the NFL. I'm just talking about what this does to how you impact defenses based on one guy. And Tyreek Hill, if you listen to all defensive coordinators, if you listen all season long, when we watch hours and hours of countless film on NFL Live, the one thing that stood the test of time, even in Kansas City struggles, is get Tyreek the ball, something good gonna happen. I just want to know who's going to be that guy for them moving forward.
I think that's right. And so, Nico, then let me come to you. As the Kansas City offense, as recently as 2-3 years ago, might have been the scariest offense that we'd seen in the league in a generation. How scary do you think they are right now?
I still think they're scary. I mean, they're still dangerous. Like, you're not going to go and replace Tyreek Hill. So you could talk about the draft. You're not just going to say, okay, I'm going to draft somebody and that's going to be my replacement for Tyreek Hill. But you can take somebody who has speed and you can literally say, okay, you line up here in the slot and you go run and hit your head on the goalpost. Run as fast you can vertically to open up the defense a little bit. Take the top off the defense, which will open up your intermediate routes and all your routes that you want to run with your tight end, with Kelce. And listen, right now, they're in a position where they traded away for some pieces for the future. So those pieces aren't going to possibly be Tyreek Hill this year. They're hoping that they can grab somebody that in year two, year three, will develop into a piece that's similar to Tyreek Hill. But you're not going to go and replace that piece. Hopefully they can find somebody that's got straight line speed. They can take the top off the defense, and then you let your best quarterback intermediate route dink and dunk down the field.
And let me go back to Mel here then, because as the Chiefs and the Packers are in relatively similar circumstances, and Ninko brought up the idea that, like, we had Jamar Chase last year who came in and set the world on fire, Justin Jefferson. We've seen some receivers come in and make a significant impact. The Packers are in a position where it looks like they need that. They're going to need that. Is that guy in this draft? Can the Packers get a player of that magnitude who can have that impact on their offense this year in this draft?
Well, they did a great job in the second round, even the third round in their history. You think about what Jordy Nelson did in the second round. We always talk about Devontae Adams. How about Jordy Nelson? How about Randall Cobb? How about what he was able to do? How about a third rounder in James Jones? So I think you look at Greg Jennings at Western Michigan, Kalamazoo, right? Greg Jennings, how about Sky Moore out of Western Michigan? Isaiah Weston, like a James Jones in the third round. Weston out of Northern Iowa could be a really good third round pick. So there's other ways to attack this. I think they will get multiple players, but they could obviously try to move up. It's been done. 27-6. Green Bay picks at 28. The Chiefs are at 29-30. In 2011, Atlanta went from 27-6 to get Julio Jones. Draft capital has it. Yep. Kansas City has it. And Green Bay has it as well.
And Mike T, you said the other day you think they may flood it, for lack of a better word, right? That Green Bay will draft multiple receivers?
They have to. And here's my concern about Mel's idea, which is this. Aaron Rodgers is very close to the end, so you could take the Sky Moores of the world who they're great and they have upside, but we got to win right now, like in the next 10 minutes, and that's why they need to scour, maybe sign one, draft a couple, but you know, you draft somebody from Kalamazoo in 2 years, he may be ready, and Aaron Rodgers could be hosting Jeopardy, and that's why there's an inconsistency with what Green Bay's done. They should never have left Devontae Adams leave.
And so, Marcus, then let's put a ribbon on that. Are the Packers among the... I'd phrase it this way. Whatever they were with Devontae Adams, are they no longer the Super Bowl threat that they were because of his departure?
Oh, absolutely not. They are not. Like, you don't – listen, man, Devontae Adams – everybody talks about Devontae Adams' ability, and we all know Devontae Adams is elite, but we don't talk about the rapport with the quarterback. Guys – We are just off a playoff game where Davante Adams was trending towards being the MVP of that game. I'm just using that for a metaphor. And then when the San Francisco 49ers took him away, nothing happened on Green Bay's offense. We just watched that. So they are going to have to try to figure out to do this thing by committee or find somebody explosive enough. Some of these guys, Mike T and Mel, obviously, is talking about. The one thing that gives me more worry about Kansas City, though, having this conversation, and this is something that I think needs to be said. Yes, losing Tyreek Hill is big, and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be – I'm coming back to Green Bay, G, but I'm making a point. The big loss to Tyreek Hill. But the AFC, we have to factor that in. These teams in their division has caught up. The Chargers have caught up personnel-wise. The Denver Broncos, we all talked about being a quarterback away. And we obviously know that the Las Vegas Raiders can beat the Chiefs because they did it without Davante Adams being on their roster. Now you go to the NFC. The only team that I really worry about with Green Bay, because I do hold Aaron Rodgers in high regard on the field when you start talking about him having the ability to make better players better, is that damn Grim Reaper came back to Tampa Bay. And things just got a lot harder. For the NFC.
For sure.
For Green Bay.
I have to run on that thought because First Take is coming up top of the hour here. LeBron out with an injury. Lakers playoff chances falling by the wayside. What do they do now? Molly, J. Will, Wendy. First Take, top of the hour on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Our action-packed April rolls on, highlighted by the Women's Final Four Friday on ESPN, Pens and Avs on ABC Saturday, Bucks and Bulls Tuesday on ESPN, Major League Baseball's opening day on the way. What a jam-packed morning this has been. Thanks so much for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.